You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux Community.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Yeah, obviously you're excited for preseason games. You're excited to get back out there. You're excited for training camp to get back out there. But there's just nothing like regular season football. And I think when you get that, when you get those cutdowns, and then you come in here today with meetings, and you're kind of with the group that's going to be our group, it makes you excited. You're just kind of excited about the guys in that room, the guys on this team, the coaches. You're excited about what we put in for, as far as work. Now we got to go out there and prove it.
Yeah, who's excited for football? Week one of the National Football League 2021 season.
This guy's excited for football.
Yeah, ready.
College on Saturday was great. I told you,
You don't sound excited to me. On like a 1 to 10 scale, you sound like a 2 right now.
No. Are you kidding? Okay. I am extremely excited for football to start.
Adam Thielen rocking the Minnesota logo on his hat, too, representing.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Are you not entertained? And every Tuesday, we go through a list of people who get it and who don't, according to us. And I would love, just based off Adam Thielen's excitement there, I would love to do the honors here and tee off here. If you guys are okay with it. All right? Yep. Okay. And this is a little bit of a two-faced who doesn't get it, because ordinarily I think this outlet gets it. We had Eric Eager on from this outlet yesterday on Purple Daily. But who doesn't get it? Pro Football Focus.
Gasp.
Because I think they're too low on the Vikings. I just went through this morning and looked at their analytical projections for each team, their forecast for the entire 2021 season. And would you guys believe they have the Vikings, and I don't know how many simulations they do of the season, but they do a bunch of them. And they have the Vikings average win total at 7.8.
Mm-hmm.
7.8.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their playoff percentage at 34%, their division win percentage at 16%, and their Super Bowl win percentage at 1%, meaning if you played this season 100 times, they're saying only once would this collection of Thielen, Jefferson,
Cook,
Danielle Hunter, Cook,
O'Neal,
over to Kendricks, back to Harrison Smith, O'Neal,
Gronklin.
But they only win the Super Bowl once. They only win the division 16 times out of 100, even though Green Bay has weird chemistry issues. I just feel like our guys at Pro Football Focus are way too low on the Vikings. I don't think they get it. Your thoughts.
This continues a trend of the national media not loving this team. I believe it was Peter King in his predictions, which are just done by him, obviously, had the Vikings not making the playoffs. They were not one of the seven seeds in the NFC that he had. ESPN had their Football Outsiders deal yesterday, and I believe that had the Vikings not making the playoffs. So there's a very large disconnect between the national perspective, it seems like, on the Vikings and our perspective. And I don't think we expect them to be great, But there almost seems to be this surefire feeling that if it goes the way the national people think, you're going to have some major changes with this team.
NFL Network, too, this morning also had floor and ceiling when Cynthia Freeland did her analytical report, too. And it's just 9.6 wins is the Vikings' ceiling for 2000.
Ceiling?
Ceiling.
Yeah,
9.6.
I saw that, too. And the floor was like 5?
5.
So their window is 5-12 through 9-8. Yeah. Oh, would she say 9.6?
Yeah, 9.6.
So round up to 10.
You can round to 10 if you want, yeah.
So they're saying best case scenario is 10-7?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. There's some depth issues, and we've definitely talked a little bit at least about Kirk Cousins on this show throughout the years. But that just seems like you're saying in no circumstance are they going to just rip off a bunch of wins and go 12-5 with the level of talent they have at these starting positions.
That's what the national people are saying. That's 100% what they're saying.
So they don't get it.
Or I mean, maybe they
or
do.
We don't get it. I was going to say, prepare for the fact that it might be us who are the bozos and they're dead on accurate.
I think what happens is, like, usually when there's this much national consensus, usually, and there's Vegas over under wins, or I think Eric Eager said yesterday that it's like 9 wins is sort of the mark, like 8.5, 9 wins when you look at all the sports books. Generally, when there's that much national momentum toward an outcome, it's not going to be 12, right? It's not going to be 11. But I just think if the starters stay healthy, these national outlets, including our friends at Pro Football Focus, are way too low. So maybe by the end of the year, we'll be pointing the finger back at us on a Tuesday.
Well, if we are, we're going to be talking about a new coach and perhaps a new GM. I don't know about that one, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Judd, who gets it? Who doesn't?
Who doesn't get it? This one needs to be resolved and follow me. Who doesn't get it? The National Football League, the Houston Texans, and to a certain degree, Deshaun Watson. One of the marquee quarterbacks in this league who is in legal trouble, but we don't still know how deep, is just sitting there and he's not going to start the season. And it sounds like because he's mad at the Texans, he's not talking to the Texans. The league has not taken the Adrian Peterson steps of suspending him. It's this nebulous netherworld that they've created for a guy who is a marquee. I'm not talking about good. He is a very good. He is a star quarterback. It's very weird. Now, if the league came in and said Deshaun is suspended, pending this, blah, 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 I'd be like, okay, that's not ideal for him, but at least it takes us towards a conclusion of some sort. I don't understand what everyone's doing here. Like, somebody step up and make a move. Suspend him. I'm fine with that.
If it is weird.
You
yeah.
think it's credible? I mean, if you think that this is going to come down and he is going to be have to go to trial, I don't know. But if you think that that's the case and you're the league, suspend him. If you don't and you think he's going to be cleared, handle it that way. I don't understand a marquee player being treated like, just go away for now and we'll come back and revisit this at some point. It's very confusing to me.
I feel like didn't the NFL have a run there where even though they were misguided on their suspensions, like they only gave Ray Rice 2 games and then the video came out and they're like, oh, I guess that was pretty bad. But Adrian Peterson, like they put Peterson on the exempt list or something for the rest of the season.
Correct.
And that hadn't played out in the court system yet.
Correct.
Right. It was
exactly.
Just Peterson's accused and reportedly, well, I guess it was police reports, but. So the NFL has acted in similar situations before, right?
Yep. And in that case, the league did the Vikings a favor because they sort of just took control, which actually made sense. That's what I don't get here. Like, are we just going to allow this guy to be like, well, we'll get back to that? Just odd.
Yeah, it is super weird. Declan, who gets it? Who doesn't?
Yeah, I will. I'll go with who gets it. And for me, it's the fall sports calendar season. Labor Day came and passed. Summer is over. Summer is over. And now it's the fall. And yeah, the NFL starting here in 2 days. NHL training camp starts in a couple weeks. It's our last reckless offseason for the NBA before their training camp picks up as well. This detriment of a twin season will be finally coming to a close in September. The fall calendar sports season is finally here. Football is here. I can't wait for kickoff on Thursday. The Vikings obviously play the Bengals on Sunday. Our Vent Line show returns to full strength on Sunday right after the game, which I'm excited to hear from a bunch of Vikings fans. So the fall sports calendar season finally is here, and it has arrived, and it gets it. It absolutely gets it.
It's a glorious time of year.
I love this time of year.
Hooded sweatshirt weather for the next several weeks.
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
You wear that hoodie, though.
Hoodie like, today? On this thing
but
right
I think
now.
You're rocking that hoodie in like 90 degree heat, though. Or in the
studio.
Summertime. Yeah, in studio.
In studio, because it's freezing in here. But my point is this sucker's back now full time.
Yes, it is.
24/7.
It was nice. I mean, college football just spread all across from like Thursday all the way through Sunday. Just random games going down to the wire. Actually, fired up here. I'll give you my next who gets it, who doesn't, because it has to do with college football over the weekend. Who doesn't get it? People overreacting on the internet to Brian Kelly. And you guys might disagree with this or take a different stance, but on Sunday night, we don't have the clip queued up because I didn't tell Declan that I was going to go here, but on Sunday night, after a hard-fought win over Florida State, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly, after the game, was interviewed, and he made clunky, awkward references to him being in favor of his team being executed. And the internet freaked out. I mean, everybody was like, what? Is he calling for his... Is he insinuating his players should be executed? What is this? This is an outrage. And then people started to realize, oh, it's a callback to a mid-70s quote John McKay.
Yeah.
So here's a history lesson, okay? Because like the internet freaked out. And even when the explanation came forward, say, oh, he botched a line from like 50 years ago, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
John McKay was the first head coach in Tampa Bay Buccaneers history back in the mid-70s. Actually, for like 10 years. So the first couple years, the Buccaneers were historically awful. They went 0-14 in their first year. They won two games in their second year. It wound up being like 20-some straight losses before they won their first game. Just a complete disaster. And John McKay was asked once around that just terrible period of Bucs football after a bad game, hey, coach, what did you think of your team's execution? And he replied, I'm in favor of it. And it was a line that lived for decades. I mean, it was a household line, right? It was a one-liner. Brian Kelly botched it completely and entirely on national TV, and it's 2021. People are more sensitive, but have we completely become incapable of just letting a bad joke be it wasn't anything that was necessarily racist, or it wasn't anything that was, you know, intolerant. It was a one-liner, tongue-in-cheek, and a callback from the mid-70s, and people can't compartmentalize and just say, oh, he botched a joke from... It was like an old man dad joke that didn't land right. And people freaked out. So who doesn't get it? People on the internet, stop freaking out.
Twitter doesn't get it? Never. I always thought that they were so smart.
It was a terrible joke. It was bad phrasing. The biggest insult was just his lack of comedic timing. I mean, don't attempt it if you can't.
I don't think he's got
it,
a lot of sense of comedic timing, though. Do you guys?
No, I don't think
he
so.
He is, yeah.
Can I actually jump in line, because it goes in line with Phil on people freaking out over the internet? All right, I'm going to tell you who doesn't get it. Jersey police. Jersey Takes and Jersey police do not get it. So the Minnesota Wild.
You're talking to two senior members of the Jersey Police Department.
Oh, my God. Here. Okay, so the Minnesota Wild released their winter classic jersey over the weekend. They're going to wear it when they play the Blues. And look, it's a unique jersey. As I pop it up on our screen for the video audience, it's a unique jersey. It's got Minneapolis. It's St. Paul. For whatever, to me, it really looks like a Grain Belt beer bottle put into a jersey. Mm-hmm. That's my first thought when I look at this, is I think of a Grain Belt premium friendly beer. Now, people lose their collective minds over this, over too many stripes on a jersey. The gloves don't match the patch on the side of the shoulder. If we're putting so much effort into this jersey and not into the team, not into the acquisitions, not into the lack of playoff success, and we're putting all this energy over jerseys, it's a damn jersey.
Sweaters, man. Sweaters are fun. People
Who
love
cares?
Them. People love sweaters.
I care about
Hockey
the product
sweaters.
On the ice. I don't care about what the hell they're wearing.
How often are they even going to wear this? A couple
Just
games?
Once.
The Winter Classic.
Once.
And
they're wearing this. Okay.
But they're going to sell. But they'll right. sell thousands, which is awesome for them.
I just, the collective effort that people freak out over a
man.
Jersey or a sweater, people as they like to say in hockey, it's not warranted, and they don't get it. That's my who doesn't get it.
Yeah, so this doesn't really fall into the jurisdiction of – so Judd and I are definitely members of the Jersey Police Department.
Correct.
But it's more about sort of as an adult, what is an acceptable jersey to wear and not. In this case, this is a throwback. This is a unique sort of once in a lifetime – like they're not going to wear this more than once, it sounds like.
Correct.
I guess I'm not one of those people that can look at a jersey and be worked up about there being one too many stripes.
You know?
Like, I don't really have strong jersey takes. Like, a lot of people look at NFL uniforms. Those are terrible uniforms. And I'm like, are they? I don't know. They're uniforms. I don't usually have strong uniform opinions, I guess.
They're fine. They're creative.
Okay.
Sort of cute.
I guess my strongest uniform opinion would be watching college football over the weekend. Can Penn State mix it up? Just a little bit.
No. James Franklin.
Plain white helmets, blue jerseys. It's like
tradition for Penn State.
You can't put like the Nittany Lion logo on.
College jerseys have so jumped the shark though that I sort of like teams that don't change them up because you've got these teams that have like eight different combinations. Oh, the kids love them. Oh, screw the kids.
I hear you.
Jeez.
Screw those college kids. I don't care.
All right, Judd. Who gets it? Who doesn't?
I want to talk some baseball, just quickly. Because I know we don't do a lot now because the Twins suck. Who gets it? The Tampa Bay Rays. And I'm going to give you the latest example of how they get it. Do you guys recall when the Twins, who are now actually have a decent record for 2021 in extras, do you recall when they got off to a terrible start? They were like, oh, and they lost like the first eight. And we had talks about the fact that when you get to the 10th now because of the guy on second base, it's a different world. And you've got to, like, be prepared to be creative. You can't just be like, I hope we hit a home run. Like, you can bunt guys over. Like, there's strategy involved, which is what I like about this. Did you see what the Rays did in their extra inning win at Fenway Park yesterday? Up by two runs in the 10th.
Oh, yeah. I did see this.
Colin McHugh purposely balked the runner on second to third because they were up by two. The runner's run meant nothing, and they wanted to get him off second so he couldn't steal signs. Because if the batter homers, it's the tie game. If the guy just hits a sack fly, it's a one-run lead for the Rays still. But think about that.
That's interesting. That feels like a little bit of over-paranoia. And
Red Sox have cheated. Red Sox have done some weird things before. All I'm saying is this is the type of stuff that I love about baseball.
Wouldn't it be easier just to change your signs up?
They clearly didn't like... I mean, they clearly thought that there might be some hanky-panky going on to second base. A little hanky-panky. They're like, no hanky-panky, you're moving to third base.
And I guess just to push back a little bit more, because... I mean, that's such a thing that a front office and a coaching staff that thinks they're the smartest would totally do, right?
I love it, though. Yes.
Let's come up with a new creative way. La Russa, 25 years ago, I'm gonna bat the pitcher eighth.
Yep.
Like, just so I can put extra – because the nine-hitter only – the pitcher hits .150. The nine-hitter hits .215, so he's going to get on base a little more often for the three-hitter.
Oh, boy.
I feel like they're – I hear you. I just feel like, all right, let's pump the brakes a little on how smart we
are. I'm just telling you, I like the strategy because that the guy on second base causes you to, or it should cause you to come up with creative ideas. And this whole thing of like, well, we'll just hopefully play normal baseball with a ghost runner on second. Anyway, I'm saying the Tampa Bay Rays get it. Good for you, Rays.
All right, I'm gonna go down that similar path here too. I got two things actually. Who gets it? Who doesn't? Who gets it? Federated Mutual Insurance Company really gets it. They've been helping business owners for over 100 years in the state of Minnesota. They are based in Owatonna. They're one of us. They support local sports teams, and they can give you peace of mind and risk management tools that protect your business and your employees. Find out more at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. I would say the Rays in general just get it, not because they're balking runners over to third base, but because they're about to win 100 games, they're first place in the American League East, and with the lowest payroll in baseball year after year after year, they are flat better than almost every team, including the Twins. I hope the Rays take Nelson Cruz and blast off to a World Series championship and just show, listen, like, this is how you do it. Twins, this is how you build a culture. This is how you build a pitching staff. This is how you develop pitching year after year. This is how you proceed through the playoffs and not have urine running down your leg every single time you run into the Yankees or somebody. The Rays have finished the last 4 years. They're going to win 100 games this year. They went 40-20 last year, first in the American League East. 96-66 in 2019 and 90-72 in 2018. And that was after like a four-year down period between multiple other 90-win seasons. So it's amazing to watch the Rays in that dump of a ballpark with no revenue coming in, no payroll. They have to trade away some of their best players. Not some, all of their best players. David Price, like all of these dudes, they just have to get rid of. And they just keep reloading. So in general, if you're the Twins, just keep, I don't know, take more notes, I guess, from Tampa.
You want Falvey to take more notes?
Yeah. So, all right. Anybody else who gets it, who doesn't?
One more for me for who gets it, and I think, Phil, you would agree with it. A.W. A.W. absolutely gets it, dude.
Oh, my man.
They had Adam Cole, Brian Danielson, right? Because it's not Daniel Bryan. Now he's back to his actual
name. His real name is Brian Danielson, yeah.
Ruby Soho also debuted to go along with CM Punk making his first match in 7 years. There is a legitimate wrestling competition, and WWE is in trouble for the first time in like 20-plus years, and it's awesome. I caught like an hour of the pay-per-view last night before I dozed off, and the product is amazing. I love what I'm watching. I might have to actually get back into the cable game just so I can watch AEW on what, Wednesday and Friday nights. I might have to do it.
There you go.
Might have to do it.
I want AEW to be the thing that Judd reviews when we get back to Judd Reviews Wrestling. We didn't do the CM Punk pipe bomb one. Maybe we do CM Punk pipe bomb and then into his return now 7 years after the last time he was in a ring. But Declan's right, man. If you're a wrestling fan or ever have been in your life, AEW is on fire right now. It's better by 100 times than WWE has been at any point the last 10 years. So I second that.
What will Vince do? What is poor Vince McMahon going
to
do?
There's no other cards to play. He played his cards at SummerSlam. Let's bring Goldberg and Brock Lesnar in and have them wrestle, you know, like.
And they even bring.
That's his only play.
They bring back Becky Lynch, their biggest star, and they completely botched it. Like, she'd been gone for 15 months for maternity leave, and they come back and they botch it. It's amazing. Yeah.
Who's next up to run that? Once Vince is gone, who runs it? His kid?
Stephanie and Triple H.
His son Shane's kind of like unplugged from the business side of WWE. I mean, he's involved, but he's not as involved as Stephanie and Triple H are.
Yeah, but Vince is like, what is he, like 76?
Yeah.
78, something like that. And it's just, it's not really working out anymore. So that's who gets it, who doesn't. Unless, Judd, you had a last-minute one you wanted to throw out here.
No, I'm good.
I got it all off my chest. All right.
Go Rays.
Who gets it? Who doesn't? Go Rays. Boo Pro Football Focus being down on the Vikings. And thanks for hanging out with us, Mackie and Judd. All right. I don't know where he's been the last few months, but we can tell you he is the number one Vikings fan we know. He has correctly predicted, if not flat out reported, two of the last four Vikings first round picks. He is a renaissance man and the creator and the founder
of three picks. I got the lineman for Florida.
That's right. You got like a fifth round pick.
Denarius. He hurt himself though. He's going to be out for the year.
Still, you get credit.
Hey, still got it.
Randy in Cottage Grove, the founder and creator of the Stud Stable, is with us. Randy, how are you doing, our friend?
Great. You know, it was a productive summer.
You know, by the way, a lot's changed since the last time you were a regular on this show here, Mackie and Judd, going back to last fall. We're now on YouTube, on the Scorneth YouTube channel. So if you could just turn your webcam on there, and maybe, Dex, maybe you can get rid of that banner real quick. If you could turn your webcam on. That would be super helpful for us here. So we can finally get a look at
finally people
the
get
gloriousness that is Randy in Cottage Grove.
I can't own a webcam.
What?
You can't own a webcam?
I don't have one, and I can't. It's illegal. Legally, I can't own one.
Is this because of your dating profiles? Did you do something where you ruined a webcam? You burned a webcam or something?
It's a different legal matter. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not That is one of the items I'm not allowed to purchase.
This from the state, the county? Like, who decided this?
It's a part of a restraining order, and it was a civil matter, and I'm not allowed to own a webcam, and there's three retailers I can't patronize.
Well, that's too bad.
Just leave it at that. But if I purchase a webcam, it violates the terms of the order. We'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, we don't want to get you in any further legal trouble here. We're here to help you. And so we'd love to get your thoughts, Randy, with less than a week until the Vikings start the regular season in Cincinnati. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your preview of the 2021 Viking season. How far do you think they can go?
A long ways. Hopefully, that's always the goal. You know, every year we do have a, you know, school to the bowl is the chance that we do when we do our first shots.
School to the bowl.
Yeah.
School to the bowl.
Yeah, it's like different. It's got a little different ring to it in a packed out bar. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. But we'll do some shots next weekend, and we'll chant that, and we'll see what we can do. But I think there's going to be a lot of studs. I think there's going to be more stud stables than dud stables this year. If you want to be, in fact, you want to do a season sneak preview stud stable.
That is music to our ears.
Ask the question.
Yeah, if you could play the music to my ears, that'd be good. Yeah,
okay. All right. Cool. This is
literally the music to his ears.
The Randy in Cottage Grove 2021 Viking season preview sneak peek stud stable.
All right. This is the 2021. I worked a lot on this one the last few weeks, really a few months, looking at a lot of different things. I think Kubiak is going to really open up the playbook this year. Zim's going to let it fly a little bit, and you're going to see that. First of all, this first guy is just absolutely aching in the loins to be a great player. Number this year, Justin Jefferson.
Oh yeah,
he's an absolute burner. He's got the speed. He's got the catch radius, as we all saw. And this year, I think you're going to be hearing his name a lot, and followed by the name Stud.
Yeah, dude, that catch radius. I don't feel like people are talking enough about Justin Jefferson's catch radius.
Why are
it's
huge? Why are his loins aching? Is my question.
For it's a figure of speech that he's ready to rock.
Can I just ask a question? Maybe I'll regret this. What are loins?
It is pants, is jock. He's just got a lot. He's snug is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And I'm snug about him. Number two guy here is
Chill Boys. Hope you're with him.
Delvin Cook. Excuse me.
No, just keep going.
Keep going.
Don't worry about it.
Keep going.
Delvin Cook is really primed to come out and just kind of set the tone for running backs in the whole league. The bell cow, the sort of featured workhorse back, is a lot of people think it's a thing of the past. That's just because they're not all, they don't make them all as good as Delvin. He's still a workhorse. He's a bell cow, and he's going to, they're going to ring that bell a lot of times. Delvin Cook, I got him on 20 touchdowns this year.
Wow,
20
dude.
Times he's going to scamper into the end zone, and he is set to go. I'm snug about Delvin, and he is a stud. Here's another guy on offense. You notice they haven't mentioned the quarterback because he's a bozo, and all he really is a cog. In fact, I hope Kellen Mond gets a chance sooner than later because he is a stud.
I mean, but, Kirk's a pretty expensive cog, though. Yeah. Don't you think he has to be more than a cog?
What do you see? I see a cog. I see a cog who does what he's told.
I think we need a cog stable.
I don't think he does what he's told, Randy. I think it's pretty certain he does not do what he's told.
Yeah, he puts it where it needs to be, and one of those places it's going to be, and it's going to be there a lot is Adam Thielen. What do you say about a guy who he's done it all? You know, he's done it all. He's succeeded at the highest levels. of course, other than a championship. But he doesn't have a whole lot left to prove, other than getting that ring on his finger. And Adam Thielen, he may now be second fiddle as far as Jefferson is concerned, but he is still a stud.
He's first fiddle in your band.
And excuse me?
Just keep going, dude. Don't worry.
Another guy. We'll wrap up this weapons series on offense with a guy who I think is just absolutely primed to have a big time year, and that's Irv Smith Jr. He's really ready to come into his own this year, and he's going to really, really break in a lot of catches across the middle.
Did you say, hold on a second, you said Irv Smith Jr.,
yeah,
right?
That's what
said. Tight end. He's
yeah, man. This is a 2021 stud stable. You're not going to see him on the field till next year.
With Kyle Rudolph out of the picture, I'm reading my notes here. With Kyle Rudolph out of the picture, Irv Smith is really, really primed to have a great campaign, especially across the middle. Jefferson and Thielen can spread it out. You get a lot of screens, little scat back kind of moves with Cook. Leaving the middle open, really, for one-on-one coverage for Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy who I don't play fantasy football, but if I did, I'd take a flyer on Irv Smith Jr. for having a big campaign.
Hey, Randy,
and there's a lot. Excuse me.
Yeah. Can I add a sentence to the end of your Irv Smith Jr. notes?
Sure.
Take this down. He's out for the season with an injury.
When did that happen?
Probably like 2 weeks ago now, Randy. I don't know how old your notes are. I don't know when the last time you
checked
in with things.
I worked on this for weeks, months. Mm-hmm. The same way that the Kuiper doesn't just wake up and mock. There's a lot that goes into it.
Oh, he wakes up.
So I feel like updating your notes is probably something you should add to the process, you know. So keeping up with the news cycle. I know you're a busy guy.
There's a lot going on. I got a lot going. This isn't all I do. I got a lot going on. I'm not allowed to work, but I'm dating and mocking.
That's unfortunate.
I don't know. I'll have to double check.
You're allowed to date.
I got a lot going on, and this is the one thing I don't need is in right on the cusp of the season. Kind of news like this, it throws the whole thing off.
Yeah, I think a lot of us and Vikings fans reacted this way when it happened like a half month ago. So, we're here to support you, man.
It throws the whole thing off.
We didn't get off on the right foot there, but it's not our fault. Our fault.
All right. Well, that was
how was that?
That was the legendary Randy in Cottage Grove, Randy Vikes 69 on Twitter. If you'd like, he's almost to 1,000 followers, it looks like, on Twitter there. And he's been bringing his weekly stud and dud stables as a caller into the old Mackie and Judd radio show. And I thought we had it figured out. I was all excited. He showed up to the state fair in person like 4 years ago.
Yep.
And he was rocking, I want to say, a Jared Allen jersey and some bright Viking Zubas. I was kind of excited to get him on camera.
And he ran away.
Legally, he's not allowed to.
Because people tried to find him. He ran away. No one ever saw him except for us.
Wow. Mm.
So, anyhow, thanks to Randy and Cottage Grove for his half-baked stud stable there. Hopefully he gets his notes more organized for the actual regular season.
Oh, boy.
It's preseason for everybody.
Yeah,
everyone's tuning up.
I feel like tuned in on a regular basis to Purple Daily, it might have helped him out a little bit to know who was in, who was out. I'm just saying.
It's possible. Boys, every week also on Tuesdays, we go back into the archives of Minnesota sports history, and Declan attempts to quiz us on our sports knowledge. It's called Random Season Recall here. What do you got this week for us, Declan?
All right. This is, I think, Phil Mackey special.
Nice.
The 2014 Minnesota Twins.
Oh, God.
The 2014 Minnesota Twins on this week's edition of Random Season.
Phil Mackey special here. Yeah. This is not at all going to be a Phil Mackey special, God. But we'll see.
We'll start with our normal win total. How many wins for those 2014 Twins, Mackey and Jed?
Holy cow.
I'll give you a 3 on either side, by the way.
So...
They lost 99 and 11. 12, 13. This is...
Didn't they lose 150 in 2015? Was that was Terry Ryan's last year, right?
That was 16, right? In 15, I thought they popped up and made a little bit of a run, and then were eliminated by Kansas City at Target Field last weekend.
Yeah, they won like 83 games or something in 15. Okay.
So 14 was
14
bad,
would have been... 14, would that have been the first year of Irvin Santana and them him getting popped 80 games for a steroid suspension?
Yeah, it might have been.
Sure.
Yep, it was right around the time.
Okay, so that was a 90-loss team for sure.
Mm-hmm.
How many games? I want to say it was like a 93-94-loss Twins team.
Okay.
92, 93. It wasn't 99. It wasn't 100. It was bad. Irv came back in the second half, if I'm remembering this correctly. That might have also been the year where Phil Hughes set the major league record for lowest strikeout to walk ratio. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then they overcompensated and gave him a contract.
Yeah. Because he had some type of innings pitch trigger, and they offered to throw him in relief in Detroit. And he's like, no, I'm good. And they're like, we're going to give you a new contract. So was Irv,
I said 69 and 93, how would that land with you?
So was Irv Santana the same year as Phil Hughes then?
They were in the same rotation Phil Hughes was here for like 3 or 4 years.
93.
Irv was here for
years. I'm saying that the first year that they came in, because Phil Hughes' first year here was really good, and then he got the contract extension and dropped off.
Yeah, because I think they signed Nolasco and Correa in the same offseason, didn't they? Or something like that.
So you said 67 and 93?
I said 69 and 93.
69,
you've got them missing two games.
Two games. Yes. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Okay.
I buy that.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
Yes! 70 wins. 70 wins.
Oh,
but still counts for the point.
Still, that's good. That's good. We're off to a great start.
I'm very proud of you guys. Way to go.
Feel good about this.
Let's see here. What do I want to go with next? Four players with double-digit home runs that season for the Twins. Only four players. Who were they?
All right.
You can do this.
Okay, so this is 14.
So this would have been... So Josh Willingham signed that contract, I think, in 2012, and it was a 3-year deal. So this would have been the end of the Josh Willingham era.
He got traded to Kansas City this year, right? Towards the end of the season.
He got traded in the last year. So I'm trying to remember if he hit 10 home runs with the Twins that year.
That's probably a good guess, though. He probably did. I mean, 10.
We get three wrong guesses.
Yeah.
We're looking for four. All right, yep. Josh Willingham.
That is one.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, some other guys that were on that team. Joe Mauer had bounced back by then. Joe Mauer had... I want to say three really solid seasons, and then they moved him to first base. Or was 13 the...
He got hurt.
I can't remember.
What's the year? Was it 13 when he got hurt against the Mets, and then he didn't play the rest of that season, and then he came back as a first baseman?
Yeah, and he's also like very rarely hitting 10 home runs in a season. It's like if he hit 10, it's exactly 10. Put him on the side burner for now.
When did Morneau leave? And get traded to Pittsburgh.
So I believe that was like 2013.
Okay.
Pretty sure Morneau was
gone.
Pittsburgh and then Colorado winning a batting title.
Oh, you know who might have been on this team? Escobar? Eduardo Escobar?
This might have been the first year of Dozier, too.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is... Oh, Dozier for sure.
Yep.
Let's go
Ryan Dozier.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is two. You need two more?
Oh. Dozier, Plouffe. There's a... Yeah, Escobar. Escobar didn't really figure it out, though, Plouffe, until later.
Is this the year that Plouffe had the crazy June?
That was, I think, 2012 or 13.
Okay.
But Plouffe was still at like hitting double-digit homers, right? Let's go Plouffe.
Plouffe?
Yeah, we got wrong guesses. Yep.
Dude.
Three. Oh, you need one more.
We have no wrong. We can run the table here.
Yep.
So you've got Escobar. Ryan Domit would have been an option in here somewhere. I'm trying to think of other guys. Aaron Hicks was probably on this team. I don't think he hit 10 home runs.
So was Domit the catcher on this team? Or one of the catchers on this team?
He would have been a backup catcher to Mauer.
Okay, so who was playing?
And a corner outfielder guy.
So who was the... So Plouffe was the third baseman? Plouffe was the third baseman. So Escobar might not have played enough at this point.
He was kind of a utility
guy. Yeah, so I might be... Yeah. That, he might not have gotten to 10 then. Willingham and left.
God, who else did they have?
Hicks and center.
Have, like, some other random. Let's go Domet.
Ryan Domet?
Guess Ryan Domet.
Jody, okay with it?
Yep, absolutely.
Ryan Domet.
That's fine.
Sorry. He's gone.
Okay.
Who is in
right field, Phil?
Oh, my God. I was trying to think of the guys that would have been on this team. This is before, Kepler.
Oh, you know who? When did Terry trade? When did Terry Ryan trade for? When did he trade Ben Revere? Was that before? That might have been before this.
He traded Ben Revere for Vance Worley, didn't he?
Yes.
That was like 2013.
Yeah, but I'm saying Ben Revere, before he got traded, played a bunch of outfield and clearly did not hit 10 home runs in a season. I'm trying to eliminate guys.
Aaron Hicks played on this team. Okay. I'm almost certain Aaron Hicks played on this team. Hit 10. I don't know if he hit 10. I'm trying to think of other guys. So the outfield would have been like Willingham would have been the DH. Aaron Hicks. This was right also in the era of like Eric Komatsu and these random ass dudes that just sort of cycled around.
Matsu's a great record producer. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's guess. All right. Joe Mauer, too, man. Joe Mauer could hit 10. Let's guess Joe Mauer.
All right. Now we're up against it.
Got all cocky.
Do you think it's Hicks?
I don't.
Okay.
But I
will give you a small hint. You have not said this guy's name even once yet.
Oh.
Throughout this entire course of Random Season Recall.
Interesting.
You mean today's episode or ever?
Today's episode.
Today's episode.
Today's episode.
Okay.
So who was 2014? Who was a shortstop?
It would have been like Pedro Florimone. They had a real rough run of shortstops.
Yeah, because they traded J.J. Hardy.
Jamie Carroll, Pedro Florimone.
Oh, that's right, Jamie Carroll. Oh, God.
It was that.
Cornelaca.
I don't think Carroll hit 10. No. He's going to go on a limb there.
No, I don't think he did either.
Oh. Kenny Vargas?
Oh,
Oswaldo Arcia? Oswaldo Arcia.
Which one's the final guess?
He hit 21 year. I'm going to guess Judd. This is me and you real quick here. I'm going to guess it's Oswaldo Arcia.
Yes.
Oswaldo Arcia. Final answer.
Yep, that's a good one.
Dingers. Dingers.
God, how can I forget about Oswaldo Arcia?
You were saying right
Vargas?
Field, and he was dead, and I was like, oh, God, they're so close.
Arcia was an amazing power hitter, just didn't offer a whole lot else.
Yeah.
Didn't offer that's much okay. else.
Vargas, same thing.
That's okay.
Yeah, remember, we were all afraid, like,
he's going to be Ortiz.
Vargas is because he kind of looks like Ortiz, yes. Stature-wise, right? Like, yes. He's going to be the next Ortiz. Still
that didn't
for that.
Work. That
I thought Arcia work. Was more likely to be the next David Ortiz. Than
and he
Vargas.
Ended up playing for, last I heard, the Mexico City Reds. So.
Yeah,
and crazy. He is the David Ortiz of the Mexico City
yep.
Reds.
Twins for never sure. forgive themselves for that. All right, what's the next one?
The longest winning streak of the season for the 2014s was how many games?
Oh, that's...
I don't know.
Just guess. You think it was
I don't even
four?
Know. Five.
Yeah.
No. Did they ever win five? No, it was. I'm going to guess four. Five? Let's go five.
Five?
Well, wait. Do we have to nail it exactly?
I'd like you to nail this one exactly.
Because, I mean, I feel like this is a very difficult, because, like, there'd be no way to remember winning streaks. All right. Do you want to say five or four?
I'll say five.
All right.
Five.
Five?
Yep.
Yeah. It was four.
Knew it might
it
be a weird
four.
Number.
Oh, my God. Four players.
That's a ridiculous question.
It is, but that's Random Season Recall. Four players had on-base percentages of .345 and above. There's only four of them. Who were those four players?
Okay. All right, Joe Mauer.
That is one.
This team was full of Tom Brunansky, low batting at, like, guys who hit .240 with a .305 on-base percentage.
He was our weekly guest around this time.
I know.
I love Bruno.
Bunch of Bruno clones.
All right.
All right, so we need four of them. So Mauer. Okay. So a lot of these guys, like Plouf.
Dozier, you think?
Borderline.
Okay. All right.
I think he was borderline. Maybe.
Okay.
But he was a low batting average. Willingham may have produced enough. Like, he drew a lot of walks.
Okay.
And he clearly hit more than 10 home runs.
We got three wrong answers.
Let's go Willingham.
Not enough.
Okay. Jamie Carroll may have grinded his way to
God,
some OBP.
This is so ugly.
It's not Plouffe.
This is so ugly.
Can we, just to throw it, we gotta at least guess Jamie Carroll's name, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Jamie Carroll.
Jamie Carroll.
Damn it.
Okay, so who even got on base on this team besides Maurer?
Well, like, Dozier may have gotten on base a little bit.
All right.
I feel like Arcia, Plouffe, those guys were like...
No. Yeah.
240, 250 hitters who got on base.
Should we guess Dozier? Like, it doesn't feel to me like Aaron Hicks did it.
Aaron Hicks drew a lot of walks. A lot of walks. I would actually, all right, crucify me if I'm wrong on this, but I actually think it's more likely that Hicks did it than Dozier, Plouffe, or Arcia.
All right, we're down to our last strike. Aaron Hicks.
But I don't know if Aaron Hicks is the last strike guess. Trying to think of who else.
I was going to say, this is another completely nondescript, ugly Twins team.
Vargas got on base a little bit. Drew some walks.
I'm comfortable guessing whomever at this point because, yeah, this is...
All right, let's go with your guy Dozier. Let's go Dozier.
All right. 345.
What was his OBP?
345.
On the nose. See?
On the nose.
All right, so, and we're looking for three? Is that what you said, Declan?
Four.
Four, so you nailed two. You need two more.
All right, and we're down to our last strike.
Yep.
Okay, let's do Aaron Hicks. He drew a ton of walks. All right. I think he played this season. Aaron Hicks. I'm sorry.
He just missed it. Just missed the cutoff.
All right.
What was he, 342?
341, yeah. Sorry?
All right. All right, what are the other two?
Yeah.
The other two were Kurt Suzuki. Kurt Suzuki... Oh. And, sorry, I pull up my notes here. Kurt Suzuki and Danny Santana.
Okay, I wouldn't have gotten
it. This was the year Danny Santana hit like 320. Remember, he came up and was just...
Oh, my God.
He's still
God.
With the Red Sox.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he is.
He's still bouncing
He's
around.
He's a good utility player.
Yes. Yes. Ooh, that was a bloodbath of random season recall.
It would start off pretty good.
Mostly, yeah. I had one more question. It was, how many saves did Glenn Perkins pick up? We'll go with that one.
So Glenn Perkins, noted friend and regular on the Mackey and Judd show at this time, noted all-star Glenn Perkins in 2014.
And he's turned himself into a hell of an in-game analyst on Bally Sports North. He's good. Mm-hmm.
I'll give you it within three, too. How many saves for Glennie Perk?
Somewhere in the 30s, right? It was like 30, I think he had like 35, 36 saves in a year. They didn't win them. He probably saved like half their games.
You want to say 32, 33?
Or half their wins. Yeah, 33. 33 seems like a safe little... It was in the 30s.
All right.
I don't think it couldn't have been much... If it was more than 36, it means he's literally saving, like...
Right.
Half their wins. So, let's go 33.
34 saves. But yes, 34 saves. 34 saves.
All right. I guess we came back there and redeemed ourselves late.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. All right. Wow, what a Twins team that was. Actually, who are the other relievers there? I think Jared Burton was one of the relievers.
Yeah, Jared Burton, Casey Fien.
Casey Fien, dude. Wow. What a blast.
It was.
Mm. Well, that Twins team had a lot of time for fall golf, let me tell you. And if you are also in the mood for some fall golf, PXG Minneapolis is your place to go. It's a golfer's paradise. And you got to check out some of the new clubs. They've got clubs in multiple different price ranges, but the Gen 4 clubs specifically are the best clubs PXG has ever made. Check them out. Drivers, fairways, hybrids, irons. Swing them for yourself. Stop in at PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center and find out more at pxg.com/Minneapolis. That was random season recall here. We were put to the test. Not entirely.
Not as good as last week. Because we killed it against the Vikings.
You did.
Or with the Vikings.
You did.
We killed
You could mix
one.
In some gopher football at some point, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I could do some gopher football. I didn't think of that.
Yep.
Yeah. I could do some gopher football.
62, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. 19.
Super Bowl.
Or the 1978. Cal Stoll. Head coach.
Yep. Marion Barber led the team in rushing.
Write that down, predictions, tomorrow on the Mackey and Judd Show and an accountability session. And don't forget to click the subscribe button on the Score North and Purple Daily YouTube channels. And we'll give you daily Vikings and Minnesota sports discussions and entertainment back at you. See you guys tomorrow.
Hi, I'm John Henney, fourth generation owner of Henney Jewelers in Shadyside. When it comes to shopping for a diamond engagement ring, be sure you're getting the very best value. Before you think about purchasing a ring anywhere else, please stop in to Henney Jewelers to compare. Our friendly team will make you comfortable and never pressure you. We are confident we'll help you find or create your dream ring at the absolute best value. Stop into Henney today or go to HenneyJewelers.com to make an appointment. Henney Jewelers, we're your jewelers for life.
Whether it's Baker's Simple Truth Turkey or mac and cheese with Murray's English Cheddar, or pie made with fresh Cosmic Crisp apples, there are many dishes we look forward to sharing during the holidays. And Baker's has all the fresh ingredients you need to turn today's holidays into tomorrow's memories. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.